Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Now, we are still on the road in Turks and Caicos, but let's get straight to the docket. First, Lori Vallow's attorney is making more demands. Will he get his way? Second, more information on that bizarre case out of South Carolina. Third, a teacher found not guilty at trial. Fourth, don't text your intentions that you're going to hurt somebody. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that little subscribe button as well as the bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, today, like I said, we are still in Turks and Caicos. Absolutely beautiful. Take a look at that water. It is crystal clear. It is like swimming in a swimming pool. Absolutely amazing. Been in there already today. All right. Now, why are we here, you wonder? That's right. It's the lovely Miss Kristen's birthday week, so we decided to get away and enjoy. So it's her birthday week. We'll be back in the Crime Talk studio on Monday. All right, now let's get straight to the docket. Lori Vallow's attorney, Mark Means, is making more demands. Now, when your client is found to be not competent and they go off to the state hospital for restoration of competency, let's face it, the attorneys are not doctors. They are not going to get involved in the day-to-day treatment of their client. That's simply not their bailiwick. But Mark Means, that's right, he wants to have it his way. In a document filed Friday, Mark Means wants to know everything that's taking place because he believes his client is in a fragile mental state. And he wants to know everything that the prosecutors have told the doctors at the state hospital. Well, I know Mr. Means hasn't done a competency evaluation before. This is his first one. And in the restoration process, the doctors that are assigned to the case will reach out oftentimes and talk to the defense attorneys and see what their issues may be, particularly as it's been indicated in this case that Lori Vallow cannot assist in her own defense, which would make me think that there is some sort of delusional situation going on there where maybe she truly believes all this end of the world stuff so wholeheartedly that it's preventing the defense preparing for their case. Means is also asking for all conversations about Daybell's treatment, transfer to the facility, and any other issues regarding her competency while at the state facility. Means is also asking that Judge Boyce order private and confidential access to Lori Vallow while she receives treatment. Now, I'm not sure that the judge has any jurisdiction over there to tell the hospital how to run their show. Like I said, I've never seen a situation when your client goes off for restoration that the attorney is going to go visit with them in any way. Maybe the fact that Mr. Means is now being paid by the state, he believes that he needs to delve into this much deeper. Who knows? He's taking a very personal interest in Lori Vallow's treatment. So normally when somebody does go off to restoration, the case is paused. Once the court determines that there is a issue of competency and the defendant needs to be restored, the case is paused. Nothing further takes place. I don't think the court is going to entertain any of these motions or shouldn't until there's a competency evaluation done at the state hospital. Like I said, the Idaho law states that Lori Vallow will be held for 90 days to restore her competency. If that happens, court proceedings will then resume as normal. If not, the stay extends another 180 days. And then the treatment would continue based upon further stays and evaluation. Hopefully she's restored to competency so that this matter can move forward as expeditiously as possible. Next on the docket, more information about the bizarre case in South Carolina. Yesterday we brought you the facts of the case of 22-year-old Paul Murdoch and his mother, Maggie Murdoch. Now, they were both fatally shot at the family's hunting lodge. It's a very prestigious family in South Carolina. And Paul Murdoch was involved in a situation where there was a boating accident. He was intoxicated. A young woman by the name of Maggie Beach, who was 19 years old at the time, passed away. The criminal charges miraculously went away, but a civil suit remained. And the father and the spouse to Maggie found Paul Murdoch and Maggie Murdoch on the side of this dog run at this hunting house that they have. Alex Murdoch is not a suspect. And yesterday it was indicated that Maggie would have been shot possibly by some sort of rifle and that Alex Murdoch may have been shot in the face. It's unclear whether they're both victims of a murder. The investigation continues, but apparently this Paul Murdoch had a lot of demons. It was reported in the civil case that when he drank, he turned into a different person. His friends referred to it as a complete different alter ego. They even had a name for that alter ego, and his name was Timmy. Apparently, he became rather aggressive, wanted to fight people, and really could not hold his liquor. So there's some indication just by that that maybe he had upset somebody else when he was in a state of intoxication and somebody came to finish the job. We will definitely have to wait and see. For some reason, I find this case rather interesting. Obviously, you have a kind of a young, privileged kid, and then you get the mother who's also killed in the same situation. Not sure where this is headed. For some reason, I find this very interesting. Hopefully, you all do as well. Next on the docket, a teacher is found not guilty. Now, we have reported on lots of cases where teachers are charged with having inappropriate conduct with their student. We even brought you the story of Meredith Susan Barry Martin. She's 39. She was accused by a student of having inappropriate contact with her while she was his biology teacher. Miss Martin had completely denied any of these allegations, took the matter to the trial, and was found not guilty in less than 2 hours. Clearly, the jury did not believe the student's version of the events, and the defense was simply that nothing happened and this is a complete fabrication. The defense attorney got up in his closing argument and said, "It's my job to test these allegations to see if they stand up under scrutiny." And clearly, they did not. So, Ms. Martin, sorry you had to go through that whole process at all, but at least the truth came out and you were found not guilty. Sounds like a case where a student came a little too infatuated, and if he couldn't have her, no one else could. Sad situation. Very sad that it appears as though lies were committed, and the prosecutor basically stated that the student had nothing to gain by these allegations, unless, of course, the jury believed that they did, and in that particular situation, and the appropriate verdict came back not guilty. Next on the docket, don't text your intentions. If I have said this once, I have said this 1,000 times, and we are not telling people to go and commit crime. Completely to the contrary. However, if you're going to commit crime, you don't want to give all the evidence so that you can be convicted. Now, some people say, "Scott, why are you saying that?" I'm just telling you, no one wants to commit crime. No one's telling anybody to commit crime. But sometimes people don't realize that anything that they say can and will be used against you. So, for example, when a Dallas woman who's accused of murdering her 2-year-old child's father and texted him just hours before saying that she did not want to be civil, that she wanted him dead. Guess what? That can be used to establish her intent, her mental state, that she was going to go over and do that. In the case of Shori Rachel Palazda, that's exactly what happened. Police allege that Palazda texted the father of her child, Quincy Lamont Brooks, at 4:28 p.m. on June 8th, "I don't want to be civil. I want you to die. Laugh my ass off, so pull up." Authorities claim Palazda shot Brooks at 6:41 p.m. later that day. Police found Brooks, 22, face down on the second floor landing of the apartment with a gunshot wound to his chest. He was taken to a hospital where he ultimately died. The next day, police said they determined Polizda 20 was responsible for Brooks' death. And of course, what they do, they look at your phone. What do all police officers do? Look at your phone. And when you text, guess what? It's there, particularly on the phone of the dead guy. You can't delete that. So, Ms. Polizda, looks like you're probably going to spend a long time in prison, and certainly doesn't help that you texted somebody saying you wanted bad things to happen to them.
Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did.
Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. This is an example why you don't keep secrets. And if you're in a relationship, you never talk about your exes. Well, meet Alexis Talley. She is in custody charged with domestic abuse. Why, you might add? Well, that's because her partner was talking in her sleep about her ex. And what did Miss Talley decide to do? That's right. She began to punch her partner in the face, and the police ultimately had to respond because a noise complaint was called in by a neighbor. Now, Ms. Talley acknowledged arguing with her girlfriend after hearing her sleep talking, and she claimed the dispute was only verbal and not physical. However, the victim did have injuries on her face, which appeared to be consistent with the claim that she had been beaten and hit while she was asleep. Now, Ms. Talley was arrested for domestic battery, booked into the county jail, and she is on a $2,500 bond, and she can't have any contact with the victim in this particular case. So fortunately, they can't sleep together, and the victim cannot sleep talk, and Miss Talley cannot assault anyone. Thank goodness. All right. I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Thanks for watching today. We won't go live tonight. Why? I'm sorry. We have a lovely dinner planned with the lovely Miss Kristen, and it all overlaps. We can't do it. I will make it up to you all, promise, next week, as well as our Patreon members as well. So thanks for watching. Have a great day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.